All right, welcome everybody to the AMA here with E4C. We are very excited. First time, I don't know, Johnson, if you knew this, but you guys are the special ones. You are the first actual live stream event. I mean, on YouTube at least. We've done, you know, plenty of things on Twitter and Discord and stuff. But Johnson, you get the privilege of joining me for our first Balthazar YouTube live stream. It's going to be hype. I want to see some hype here in the chat. So anyone who's here, throw out some emotes, some hellos, some emojis, whatever you want. Throw out your love for E4C and Balthazar in the chat. Want to see it just going crazy. Let's get it going crazy. Let's get it started right. But for those who maybe don't know you, Johnson, quick, who are you? And what are you doing with your life right now?
Hey, you know what? Since you asked for crazy, this is how I usually start my show. Hello, Shanghai! So, you know, so today it's going to be hello, Balthazar!
Hey, let's go. I like it.
I do this even when I go to like big speeches, like China Joy and stuff, like gaming industry. It's not just when I host big esports shows, because I feel like it gives me much more energy than like any other people, and people focus on me better this way. So
I love it.
That's how I grab attention.
Yeah. For those that don't know, you're ex-CEO of Riot Asia Games. And I'm curious now that you're talking about that, did you ever get to go up on stage during, you know, a big event, during a match or something and get to announce anything?
So I went on stage many, many times. For a lot of the LPL games, I am, the person giving out the awards at the end. But the most viewed one was 2017 Worlds Finals. I was one of the three awarders. Handing out the champion trophies. So I was up on the stage with Mark Merrow and Brendan Beck, Riot Games CEOs. And founders. So that was definitely a very special moment for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, I cut you off though. I was super curious about that. Do you want to give a quick who are you and what you're doing?
Of course. So my name is Johnson. I'm the CEO and founder for Ambrus Studio. My career started in McKinsey, the management consulting firm, which sounds plain to many people, but it was actually really fun. Learned a lot of fundamental skills. In order to not make it not too plain, I also took 16 months of sabbatical to get a PhD, full-time PhD in Peking University. And then in my remaining time, I was a full-time PhD and a full-time McKinsey consultant, which was pretty crazy. I left to join the World Economic Forum in 2013 as a climate warrior, leading the circular economy initiative there before taking a crazy change in my life and then joining Riot Games in 2015 as head of esports for China. And then, you know, next 5 years was like the best ride in my career. We took League of Legends esports to become China's largest sport. We broadcast more hours than NBA, the local soccer, and the local basketball league. Our revenue for the esports became a crazy number. And then one large game of ours will get over 100 million unique viewers, including the one I just told you about, 2017 World's Finals. Yeah. So it was, a crazy ride. And then as a result, I made it all the way to Asia CEO for Riot within a few years. I was literally promoted once every year. Before I decided to pursue my passion for the climate and started my entrepreneurial journey for the last 3 years. And the latest of which is Ambrus Studio, a Web3 gaming company that I started at the end of last year. So that's a very, very quick overview of myself.
Love it. Thank you. It's just so good to have you. I know we talked a few months ago, but it's been fun to just kind of track your guys' progress and to talk to you again here. So thank you so much for taking the time. And chat, just thank you guys for being here as well. We're going to do some giveaways tonight for E4C. We have some whitelist spots. We have some legendary loot boxes in the Fallen Arena, and we have a Ranger Edition NFT. So, Johnson, you're throwing out the big giveaways here today, it feels like. So I hope everyone's ready to go for it. So this is going to be a live AMA. Feel free to drop questions in the chat as we go. But as we get started, Johnson, I just want to get your take personally. It seems like last time, I can't remember exactly how long it's been since we talked. It's probably a few months now. And back then, it seemed like, you know, even though the market was down, everyone was still kind of, you know, bullish on play to earn and NFT games and where the space is going. It seems like since we've talked, just a lot of drama in the crypto space has, you know, gone on with Celsius and FTX collapsing, all these things. Just like, it seems like bearish thing after bearish thing, and people are panicking. How has that affected you guys, if at all? Has that changed your mindset at all? Or is it just, hey, we're chugging along and we're not paying attention to all of that?
I think it's the last one is the closest. We're chugging along. You know, we don't have any exposure to any of these companies. We feel like, you know, we've always been ahead of the time, right? We knew back then, even when I first started in Ember Studio, like more than a year ago, I already knew that play to earn is not going to work at that time. I think the sustainable to economic thing in play to earn will just never work. I'm an econ major myself in U Chicago, and at that time, like, this is crazy. It's not going to work. So, well, I think I've been proven right. And then now, right, I think as a result, we are actually one of the earliest people planning for complete play for fun, planning for complete no play to earn element, and then you know, designing a super sustainable tokenomics system that is aimed to be sustainable, to incentivize people to convert to Web3 while still using the uniqueness of the blockchain technology. So we think now, because we are ahead of the curve, we hopefully will finish ahead of the curve too, and we'll be able to be the first to produce a sustainable, fun, large DAU game in Web3 space. So that's what we're looking at right now. And then, you know, as a result, right, because we're still developing, the hitting the market doesn't really hurt us that much, except on the fundraising side. And the good thing is that we did majority of our fundraising in the first half of this year. So, you know, yes, over the last few months, we still have a lot of interest there. We still let in a few investors, you know, who we think adds a lot of strategic value at the same valuation as we had like back in June this year. So, you know, our evaluation has not improved. No, I think that's the only real, let's say, downside. Other than that, though, we are chugging along and we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good thing that you guys have going on, is having that focus of let's make a fun game that people want to play. Whether regardless it's a bull market, a bear market, like, why should a market affect a video game, right? It should be, we want to play it because it's fun. And I'm curious, with that mentality, have you seen that within your community? Because I've seen a lot of other Web3 games, as more and more of the market has gotten bearer and bearer, that people have just lost interest because they're more so interested in the value of NFTs or tokens of the game. Do you feel like your community has still been going strong because you've had that kind of play for fun mentality?
I would say yes, relatively. You know, we look at our activity level, not just the number of fans, right? In the level of interaction, the depth of interaction, the NFT sales numbers. I think we're doing relatively well. No, I'll be lying if we didn't lose any fans, right? For sure we did.
Sure. Yeah. You know,
everyone does. And then there are, because the market cooling down, everyone has lost, you know, community members. But to us, I think, from the get-go, we've been focusing ourselves on building a very long-term, very sustainable play-for-fun experience. And we've, you know, we can never stop the flippers or, like, you know, the to-earn guys. No, they're still part of our community, right? And we still think that there's a way to harness the power of even these people in our community to help us. So that we still all agree. But we've always natural selected, you know, let's say a more long-term crowd who can really buy into our vision in our community. And I think that's really paying off. So the hit in our community is, I would say, relatively minor.
Good. That's great to hear. And speaking of which, we have some chat questions now rolling in. And this one is kind of similar to what we were just talking about. This is from Oreb saying, hey, there's, you know, this in-game token, there's too many whales in crypto that try to make profit from tokens. How do you want to manage whales' behavior? If they sell, everyone starts to panic. Do you care about that? Do you care about whales selling and profiting and you know, causing some panic in the market? Or do you just kind of take that philosophy of, hey, we're playing for fun, we're not going to worry about what whales do with their tokens?
I don't care. Essentially, you know, yes, we are going to design some mechanisms to, you know, mitigate that. But it's just like, you know, take the stock market, right? Even if you're the number one cap, market cap stock in the world, whether it's Apple or Tesla, whatever, you know, there's always big institutional investors, you know, who want to, you know, let's say under allocate you and then as a result be selling you, right? But you need to realize that what makes these stocks great is that they have fundamental value creation. And that's what we're doing, right? We want to make sure that our game is fun. We have a lot of players. These players generate revenue and value creation for the game, for our token holders, and for us, the studio. And as a result, you know, our quote-unquote market cap or fully diluted value will be much, much higher. And then we'll be immune from, you know, like 1 to 10 whales, you know, trying to sell us, right? At the end of the day, we can never stay away. We can never convince everyone to stay together, you know, away from us or, you know, or stay with us forever. We just need to prove to the community that we are worth it. And it doesn't matter how many whales are trying to throw out our coins.
Mm. I love that mentality. And I think that's just awesome to see that. And you know, it makes sense. If you're building a video game, then, you know, if that fun aspect is still there, then, you know, up and down, no matter what with the whales, it's, you know, it's going to shine through as long as the player base and community is still there. You know, there's only so much you can do to control what other people do with their NFTs and tokens, right? Like you can't make decisions for people, right? As you said. So I like that and focusing on the fun. So let's jump into one other question here and then we'll kind of do our first giveaway here. Speaking of the fun of the game, MetaMax wants to know, what has the inspiration been for the design of each hero? Can you walk us through how do you guys design them?
Sure. So right now we've publicly announced, actually in our sneak peek, there's the first 7 champions. These are all, well, you know, what we call E4C Rangers. We've done one degree or another a reveal for them. But you know, right now, what's really publicly announced is Rin and Kid, our first 2 champions. And of course, the subject of this wave of free mint, which is Thorn. I will first start with the underlying universe that they're from. It is Earth in 2100. So why are we doing that? Because we really, really care about the environment. That's like our vision, good game for good cause. We want this good game to really do something for the world on the environment side. So we decided one thing that's really lacking is the education of the dire consequences of climate change. So do you know that in 2100, the world is already set to rise by 4 degrees Celsius versus pre-industrial times? So we decided to depict how the world will be changing. We've done a lot of scientific research, and then all of our games are under the E4C, Earth 4 degrees Celsius universe. So E4C Fallen Arena, E4C Final Salvation, they're all under this universe. So under this universe, then there's many, many camps. There is essentially this, you know, quote unquote bad guy company called Hive, was started as someone who want to use science to help the environment. But because it fell into the control of people with not so pure intentions, they start to try to control the world. And then there are many, many factions that start to rebel against it. And you know, as a result, you know, all of our champions are coming from this rivalry that you see right here. So Rin and Kit are both you know, in the camp that is fighting against Hive, while Thorn is actually from Hive. But you know, as the story evolves, you'll see more what happens with Thorn. So you know, that's a very, very quick overview of you know, the story. And then the champion designs, right? I just want to mention one more thing. The story and their skill shots and you know, everything, their in, like graphics design, that's all, let's say, controlled holistically by our team. And then one thing I really want to stress is that our skill shots, it's going to be relatively less complex compared to, let's say, League of Legends or like Wild Rift. You know, essentially, we want to minimize the micro control part of mobile gaming, and then make the you know, try to make the strategic and tactical elements stronger. And then we feel like for people to get into a genre like MOBA, we need to lower the entrance bar a little bit, so our skill shots are slightly easier than you know, the current incumbents. So that's the last thing I want to mention about our champion designs.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. I think, you know, two things come to mind as you're talking. One is I think it's really interesting that you guys are tying the actual storyline of the game and characters to a storyline that's happening in the real world, because I think that makes it really interesting for a multiplayer game. I think a lot of multiplayer games, you know, you think of League or Valorant or, you know, CSGO, like, it seems like most people are playing for the competition, for the PvP. It's not so much the lore itself that they care about. But I think tying it into something that's actually concerning to a lot of people in the real world is a really cool way to make people actually care about the lore. And then I just love the fact that you guys are trying to help the mobile micro actions, because, man, that's the thing that keeps me from playing mobile games the most. It's just, it's sometimes very infuriating to try to do those small micro movements on your phone. It just drives me crazy. So thank you for doing that.
Well, Luke, I think just means that we're getting old.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Maybe that's the problem. I hope that's not the only reason, but my mechanical skills definitely are not as sharp as they used to be, unfortunately, as I wish they were. So
I know we were both pretty pro back then, right? But then, you know, I think it's always catch up to us.
I don't know if I'd call myself pro. I hit like gold, like mid gold in League. So I was like a 50% player maybe, but you know, yeah, I had a lot of fun. Real quick, do you want to say what the whitelist bot is? Maybe if they don't know what the Ranger NFT, what does it do? What does that accomplish for them?
Sure. So, you know, our Rangers NFT, we are in the middle of a 7 champion Genesis NFT series. But then this one is a special edition. The total number of mints will be 10,000 this time. And then, you know, this one will be a free mint. It is going to be for our third champion, Thorn. And then, you know, we are giving away, you know, a few things. First of all, you know, there will be utilities that I actually don't know how much we've announced, so I don't want to spoil, like, you know, the utility. But it's going to be, you know, in-game airdrops. It's going to be things like, you know, DGC, our you know, in-game utility token drop, blah blah blah. But you know, there will be things that's tied to the ladder, the DGC part, via staking. So you know, essentially, this is our part of our NFT series that we want to really try to, you know, build our community with this free mint. So that's what this Thorn NFT is about.
Yeah, I like that. And that rolls in perfectly to our next question anyways, which was, you know, what do you think about when the current community prefers free mint over paid mint? There are too many flippers. The number of holders is few. But it sounds like there's not... Not everyone gets to free mint, right? Just lucky winners.
Yeah, exactly. Only lucky winners. Free mint, right? I think we need to couple it with something. We need to couple it with people actually need to spend time to understand our game, spend time to listen to AMAs, join community activities. If it's free mint, right? And then gas fee is not that high, especially right now we're on Immutable X, there's no gas fee. Then, free mint is very free. But why do we want to do free mint, right? We want this to use this as a way to expand our community. But if you just, get the free mint and then throw it away immediately, you don't understand our community, then, it's missing the whole point. And that's why we couple this free mint with, activities that you need to do, in order for you to improve the value of this free mint. That's what our staking system does. And then, of course, then, you still need to work for this whitelist, right? You need to come to AMAs like this and then guess the right numbers to get the whitelist. So, we do think that this is a good, reward profile for our community members. That's why we're doing a free mint.
Cool. I think one of the questions that everyone wants to ask, and I don't know if you have an answer or an estimation, but when will the game be playable?
All right. So first of all, E4C Fallen Arena, our mini game, is already playable. It's in closed beta. We are launching on Steam for PC at the end of the year. It is going to be our first game. Of course, it's not a full experience that people are looking for in our mobile MOBA. But, it is still pretty exciting that we have a game that is launched that's in the market. Our E4C Final Salvation game, we plan to launch it at the end of next year. We plan to make it available for alpha testing in the first half of next year, and then beta in the second half of next year. So stay tuned. There are still a lot of development progress to be made. We're still making a lot of tweaks. We do have an internal build that we are refining the core gameplay loop on already. So, we are very excited about our current gameplay, but we still need to make it better. So it will be a few months before the players can really see it. But hopefully people will like what we're doing.
Yeah, well, I think I see a few questions about this similar vein. A lot of people are asking, what is this game going to bring? What's the advantage of this game over other games? Some are asking, what's the difference between League of Legends or other MOBAs? I think we've seen, at least in my days, I've played League for a long time and I've seen kind of other ones go, come and go, and Heroes of the Storm launched, which, kind of had some success, but I wouldn't say it's taken off fully in the way some people thought. So what's going to make E4C stick out in people's minds, you think?
Okay, first of all, versus any Web3 game, we already talked about it. It's sustainable, it's play for fun, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to labor too much into those parts. I mean, we already explained our differences. Let me explain then how we can stand out in the Web2 space then. Because, in order for us to really gain the huge amount of users that we aspire to, we inherently have to tap into the Web2 users. And, be able to compete head-to-head with the current giants, right? Which is actually very hard. I mean, look at the current MOBA space. MOBA space, PC side is dominated by League of Legends. And then the mobile space is dominated by Honor of Kings, Arena of Valor, MLBB, and then Wild Rift. And these four games, but keep in mind, these four games are only popular in China, Southeast Asia, and a few selected markets like MLBB in Russia, for example. None of them has really taken off in Europe, US, or lower tier emerging markets. So we see this as a huge white space, a huge opportunity, right? And then we look at the reason why they're not very successful. One of the biggest reasons is that it's still too complex, it's still too long. The mobile, it's not mobile native design. They are all pretty much direct ports of PC League of Legends experience. So we decided that we're going to make this game shorter and faster, more highlight moments, more intense. At the same time, we lighten the control mechanics from the mobile side and make it more mobile native, while adding more strategic element to it so that we can achieve a game that's easier to get into, but potentially even harder to master. We think it's very hard, but we think we found the right balance here. And you know, we are going to do customer acquisition in a very hybrid Web2, Web3 manner. For Web3, we want to harness the power of the community of Web3 for sure. But we also believe that the key, right, is to be able to get Web2 users come in, enjoy the game because they think it's fun. And then we use our main in-game asset, which is selling skins. We have designed a unique skin upgrading system that essentially we think will give players a great experience, whether you are a Web2 or Web3 user, whether you're a ping or non-ping user. And even better, if you, you know, we use the skin system to eventually incentivize people to convert to a Web3 and connect to a wallet. We think this is the way we can achieve high mass of players and then have them migrate over to Web3. And then once we have the critical mass, then we think that we'll be able to be, you know, quote unquote, the king of Web3. Everyone will want to work with us. And then there's so much revenue potential, right? At the end of the day, Web3 right now needs more players, active users. And our goal is to build the most player-centric experience and let the Web2 people who feel like there's no fun Web3 games to come into our game and enjoy it and be part of our community.
Great. And you're making my job easy. You're already answering questions that are coming in down the line, just talking exactly what Orb was talking about. But the last part of the question, maybe we can go a little more in-depth into it. He's talking about engaging Web2 gamers, but then also specifically, how do you market to Web2 gamers? Because I'll throw out an example here. I don't know how much you are studying in these other games in the Web3 space, but one of the things that was interesting from Gala Games, they just put out Superior, where you could buy the NFT version on their website, or you could buy the non-NFT version on Steam. And what was interesting, I just went into Steam to see what people were saying about it. And there's a lot of just negative reviews, even the non-NFT version of the game. People are just like, oh, even though this game version has no NFTs, it's a company that does support NFTs. So we're going to downvote it. We're going to throw, you know, hate at it in these reviews. And it's not every gamer out there, but there's a lot of that. So how do you actually market to Web2 gamers? Because it seems like right now it's very difficult for them to get over this hurdle of NFTs are just scams.
No, that's very true. I don't say we have everything figured out, but you know, at the end of the day, right, it's about how we want to position ourselves. We want to position ourselves as a fun game. We are not a Web3 gaming company in the traditional sense, right? We are the Web3 company that tries to build the future of Web3. And we believe we have a path that works. That is combining mobile genre with esports, with our community, and then doing a hybrid Web2, Web3 approach. And then our marketing team's job is to convey this vision. We think that the NFTs and Web3, if we do it smartly, it can coexist with the rest of the world, with the Web2 world, right? For example, our goal in our skin is most unique, as I said, because of our skin upgrading system. And the upgrading system, right, we have a unique design where we are writing a lot of the highlight moments of your personal gameplay into the metadata for these NFTs. So these NFTs are not just pure skins, right? They are emotional attachments for you. And yes, if it's just emotional attachment for Luke or Johnson, it's probably not going to be worth anything. But what if it's the emotional attachment attached to a very famous esports player like Faker? Then it's going to be worth quite a lot more. So our goal, right, is to make this unique NFT setup work. Think about, do people complain about NBA Top Shots and then, this is way overhyped, blah, blah. Yes, people complain about the price, but no one really complains about whether it fundamentally should exist. And that's what we're trying to do. If we can successfully build common emotional attachment for people in something that they all enjoy watching, then it's not really about the asset. It's about the experience that they share. So we are focusing very, very much on the game itself. NFTs, that's really just one way for us to interact with our community. In fact, we think the NFT holder or the wallet connected percentage will be so low in the beginning that we look much more like a Web2 game in the beginning when we launch.
That's awesome. I love you mentioning just even the aspect of a favorite pro player and having that connection of an NFT to that, because I would love a Faker NFT, or, you know, even Def now that he took down Faker in Worlds. I think that would be pretty hype. And I'm kind of interested to know your perspective. And, you know, I've known you've done an AMA with, you know, Reggie and stuff from TSM. It seems like a lot of the sports people have jumped on the NFT hype and rode that during the bull market, but it doesn't seem like as many esport players have tried to make their own NFT collection or things like that. Or am I missing that? Or are they still hesitant to that? Or do you think the esports players will be jumping over that, I guess, barrier and exploring the world of NFTs soon?
Well, that's a tough question. First of all, right? Esport player have a lot of them have the problem that you know, their entire contract, meaning, you know, even their streaming, their commercial rights are signed to the teams rather than to themselves. Of course, it's very different between leagues. But you know, the esport players at the end of the day, right? They spend most of their time practicing and then playing the league. And therefore, you know, they have less time for it, and they, you know, they have the incentive is not as aligned. Now, do the teams have great ability to create NFTs for that? You know, not in the current sense, right? Because, you know, you need to give underlying utility. PFTs no longer work. So, you know, what utility can a team give? Is it then not too different from a membership you know, program that they already have? I think that's the fundamental question, right? Me as a game developer right now, you know, in the past I was a lead commissioner. We have the advantage that we have you know, more utility that we can give. And we believe that this is the missing formula, is, you know, like controlling where the value lies. I do think that we need to work together with the teams, with the players, in order for it to work. But, you know, it really needs, let's say, all these parties to work together. And, you know, an incumbent, like, for example, League of Legends, who doesn't really want their foot into Web3, it's much, much, much harder for, you know, the team and the leagues to try to monetize on it versus, let's say, for Ambrose and for E4C Final Salvation, right? We're making it clear that we are very happy to work together with the esport team and players to seek for better monetization. So, you know, we would love to find a way to make it work.
Awesome. That's great to hear. I think that would be awesome if you could have a way to connect with players and teams and help them monetize in Web3, because that's, you know, realistically, it does come down to a lot of finances and business side of things. If you can't get into a space and monetize it, then why would a brand waste their time, you know, essentially? And so hopefully that can change, and maybe E4C will be part of the solution. I want to jump into a different area though and talk more about Ambrose Studio. And Bay Glynn is asking, what is the number of full-time developers in Ambrose Studio at the moment?
So we have almost 30 people on our game / platform team. So these are all the people who you know, are artists, engineers working on the game. So it is a pretty decent, and it also includes a few smart contract engineers, you know, who's working on, you know, the side that's closer to publishing. But yeah, essentially that's our entire, you know, game and platform team is about 30 people.
Do you feel like that's enough? Are you guys still looking to hire and round out the team? Where are you guys at?
No, we have to be ramping up, right? I mean, right now we're in a prototyping phase. So we think 30 is enough. But then as we get into pre-production, production phase, we'll continue to need to ramp up. You know, my rough sense for the number of headcount right before our release, after our mass production, we probably will be closer to 100 people at that time. But of course, that's if, we get significant traction, fundraising goes well, then we can expand more like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think to some people, it might sound like 100 is a lot, but I've just been reading and studying how hard it is to make video games. And man, I don't envy you guys and your teams. It sounds brutal, just the amount of resources and work that goes into, gameplay mechanics and arts and sounds and, animations. It's just so much going on with just a single video game. It's crazy how big of a team you really do need to create a quality game.
Correct. And then, it is never a one-to-one scale. The bigger the team is, the harder is this to manage, the more, let's say, redundant work or not so useful work will be created. So, what we try to do is we try to keep the team relatively small right now and then efficient. But we have to be scaling later as well.
Yeah. Well, let's do one more question, then we'll get to a few more giveaways here. A follow-up question that A Banana, love the name, is asking, can you tell us the current status of the game as far as the development of E4C? I know you guys got Fallen Arena out there, but what about E4C? I'm curious because alpha testing should start soon, and I can't wait to play. So there you go. You got an excited fan here.
Of course. I actually mentioned most of it in an earlier conversation today with you. We are in the prototyping phase. We already have a playable build that we keep refining the core play loop. And then we think that this build will be ready for investors, for our very, very close partners by about end of January. Which means that, within the less than 2 months, we'll pretty much finalize this version as our initial version. This version is not a player-facing version. The UI UX will not look that good. A lot of art assets are still temporary assets, but then the core functions are there. The core gameplay loop is what we think it's going to be able to scale. There's no balancing still, so the balancing will take many, many more months. But then, at least we think the core gameplay loop is fun. And the next step is our alpha. Alpha, we think, is going to be in, probably Q2 next year, and then beta in the second half of next year with a goal to launch by end of next year.
Johnson, you still good for a couple of questions?
Of course.
Okay, I didn't know if you had a certain time limit, but this one is an interesting question. I don't know if you'll know what they're talking about, but just kind of as a spicy hot take here, they asked, I noticed the user growth of E4C has encountered problems in the short term. I want to know what the Project Party thinks about the current situation. Do you know what they're referring to? Or maybe if not, can you just expand on how do you feel like the community is doing right now for E4C?
No, I'm going to talk about it openly. I'm actually a really open person. I think our community, like if you look at Twitter, at the peak, we hit maybe like 41,000 or something. And then the lowest point like a week ago was like 25,000, right? So, yes, we lost a lot of people, but what did we lose? I mean, on one hand, we did buy some bots in the very, very get-go. And then I think those will continue to be cleaned up, especially as Twitter goes through its current Elon Musk reform. Now I think we're all real fans. Two is that I'm sure when the market hits, and the market declines, there will be people who just here, to earn, to get some money, because they think they can participate here and get profit for it, then they'll probably be leaving. I do think that right now, whoever stays with us, our community's interactivity level is still pretty good. Our Discord is still alive and kicking. So, I actually think that this is a good self-selection, and I totally don't mind it. And then now we're growing again, because we are doing this way of free mint for us to find people who's long-term aligned with us, with our vision.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with followers going up and down, and especially as we talked about with the markets earlier, in some ways, losing those people, even though it makes numbers down and look bad, it can be, in a way, healthy thing, as you said, because you're left with the people who actually care about the game and care about the project. So, yeah, thanks for answering that and being honest and open about it. Overby asks, do you think NFT is the future of the gaming industry overall? What do you think? Is Web3 gaming overtake Web2 gaming at some point?
I think there will be elements of Web3 that, you know, will be very, very useful in Web2 gaming. I currently think that, Web3 gaming may not overtake Web2 gaming. It will just people, you know, I think Web3 right now, it is a term that we coined. There will be the future. And I don't know whether people call it Web2 or Web3, but I certainly can see that blockchain technology being part of it, that, you know, there will be more decentralized storage, decentralized management principles about DAO that will be part more adopted in the future for and then more community, more co-creation. I certainly think that these concepts will stick. NFT as a concept, I think, will also stick. As you just need to figure out, right, how to use NFTs to better monetize your original, in-game items. I think SLG is a great genre for that. I think these massive user games like high DAU games like FPS or MOBA is another way for this to work, where the NFTs can be used to break through the ARPA ceiling for traditional gaming. So I do think that NFT is here to stay. Not every game will have NFTs, but when games find ways to use NFTs smartly, I think that's when more and more traditional Web2 players will be adopting this new norm. So I think the world will have one norm in mainstream in the future. I am not sure whether people will call it Web2 or Web3 or Web 2.5 or whatever, Industrial Internet 4.0.
Yeah.
No one can predict the terms.
Yeah. I mean, I think it will be gaming and what that looks like and how, as you said, they implement NFTs, hopefully to enhance the game itself. And that will really make it so that NFTs, I feel like a lot of games just slap them in there. Because, hey, it's the new trend, so let's slap some NFTs, even though we don't know how this actually improves the game itself, right? Which leads me to the next question. Samar asked, lots of tokens and NFTs have no utility. Your token and NFTs provide secondary royalties and game revenue. Can you explain a little bit more about that and those utilities?
Sure. But then, the regulatory landscape has also changed a lot. So when we initially came up with this plan, I think it is much more, the regulation isn't as tight. Now the regulation is much tighter. Our whole intention is to provide, the revenue share of in-game champion and skin to our NFT holders for this Genesis NFT series. But first of all, it will not include the current one, which is Thorn, because it is a free mint. And then we need to make sure that, we align incentives correctly, right? I mean, people who spend the minting price, which is actually a pretty expensive one, should be getting very, very different utility than the free mint players. So that's one first thing I want to say. Going back to the utility, right now we're still working closely with our councils to figure out a more amenable way for this revenue share scheme to be done. For example, we can be airdropping skins, airdropping skin as an NFT asset. We can be airdropping in our DGC token, which are in-game utility token. There are many, many ways for us to work this out. We are still in the process of researching and finalizing. And then there are even things that we can do directly with the SEC to, essentially to make us a commodity that's legally allowed. So we are exploring all these paths right now. But again, the intention is for us to build a community with this NFTs, and your incentive is aligned with ours. And we are here to build trust with you. So no matter what happens in the end, we'll make sure that what you get is no less only more than what you think you'll be getting.
Good. Great to hear. I like that. A lot of people, I'm going to try to summarize since we have so many questions, we have only a little bit of time left, but a lot of people, even though we mentioned it in the beginning of the stream, a lot of people still have concerns about the bear market, about finances. They've seen a lot of other games. I think recently we've seen some layoffs from other Web3 games. So just to summarize, I don't know how much you can talk about the finances here, but can you talk about like where you guys are at as far as the health of the company? And some people are asking like, hey, do you guys need to bring in more investors? What's your strategy for doing so? Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of broad stroke over those topics if you can.
Sure. Well, first of all, I for sure cannot disclose the runway and stuff, right? But we are healthy. Let me give one data point. You know, we continue to have more people who want to invest in us at our last round's valuation than like the money we spend every month. So if we do decide to open up, which we can always do that by just checking with our current shareholders at our last round's valuation, which is still pretty good. Like we can always get more money. So runway is, we're healthy. Runway is always a concern for startup, especially in this environment. But people look at our traction, look at our game, and they're excited and people want to get it. So that's important. So we're not too worried.
Great. Ross asked, how do you combat pay to win with a MOBA that includes NFT characters? From sound of it, it doesn't sound like the NFTs are pay to win, but is that the case?
That's correct. So it's skins. Skins are not paid to win. It's like League of Legends skins has no in-game advantage. It is only aesthetics, only to make you feel cooler. So I mean, we are essentially a fashion company if you think of it that way.
E4C fashion. When is the merch dropping? Do we get some IRL merch as well?
So we will, but then not anytime soon. I mean, probably over the next year, we'll start to do a little bit of merch trials. Versus all the in-game stuff, merch is not our biggest priority.
Great. I lost the question here in the chat, so I don't know who it was from, but someone asked earlier, plans for the future. People are interested. Other games that you are thinking of making here in the future, or they said at least the game genres, what would interest you guys as a studio?
So I am all about innovation. I come up with the wildest, craziest ideas. So for example, the MOBA that we're making, right? We're trying to make it so different. We do have what it takes to be a multi-game studio. But at the same time, right now we need to focus. So, at least for the next year, I don't want to think about another genre. But if we do something, it will be in the space of, innovating. It's something that's different than what's in the current market. It is not going to be 100% innovating. It will take like a current genre and then mix it with element of a few other genres to for a new experience. That's the type of genre defining work that I like to do.
Awesome. Can you for my sake, can you mash up somehow an MMO with a MOBA?
simple answer is you can always try it, put it that way. it is not what I'm trying to do though.
I don't know how to do it either. I just I'm throwing that out in case you want to use it. Okay, some free brainstorming sessions for you there.
Thank you, Luke.
All right, we just got a couple more questions. We're going to wrap it up and choose a winner for the Ranger NFT. Bay is asking, Johnson, please briefly describe your concern about the deteriorating climate on the planet. Do you consider this the most serious threat to civilization?
The simple answer is yes. It is very dire. Right now, as I said, we are on track for 4 degrees Celsius rise. And we've done a lot of research. Yes, we're not a research firm, but then we can do secondary research, right? And we realize that, it's going to be worse than many people think. not just sea level rise, you know, more and more natural catastrophes. There will be a mass scale desertization in the northern hemisphere. Food supply will be very, very, you know, difficult in the future. And then with a drastic cut of food supply, up to, let's say, even 40% by 2100, which means we can support much less people at that time. And then, you know, like it, the arable land will go, you know, north. For example, Siberia becomes one of the best arable land in the world at that time. It's so hard to imagine, right? So it is the most pressing issue. Of course, you know, the world continues to have more imminent short-term problems. But you, in terms of scale, the climate change problem is the biggest scale challenge mankind will face. So if we don't tackle it early, no, it will be too late for us to reverse. So that's why I really care about this issue, and I want to be disruptive. I want to gamers to care about this issue. I want gamers to take actions together. I want gamers to feel proud that they're not just playing games. They're doing something that can help the world. And that's why I created E4C Final Salvation. I want my mission and passion for the climate to be heard by all the gamers around the world to tackle this issue together.
I love that passion, Johnson. Thanks for sharing that. And I think I said this last time in our previous interview as well, but it's just so fascinating to me that, you know, I feel like a lot of people make video games because, like, oh, this is like a fun entertainment. I love gaming. But for you, it's this, hey, I have this passion. I have this concern for our entire world, our entire universe, right? And how do we use a fun, engaging medium of entertainment to communicate that message? Where I feel like a lot of people do that, right? In movies, shows, things like that, books are those normal types of entertainment that people use to get across messages. And I feel like video games have really lacked that. That passion, that drive, that storyline or message they want to communicate. So that's really cool that you have that as a driving focus. So yeah, thanks for sharing that passion. Appreciate it.
Welcome. I will always be talking about it because it is something that I care the most about.
Appreciate the time. Appreciate the giveaways. Any last little bits that you want to hype out about E4C, Amber Studios, or anything else you want to shout out before we sign off?
Yeah, really quickly. Thank you so much, everyone, from the community in joining us today. I hope that you find this, our idea super long-term and really interesting, and you can join us, right? You can join us, which means you can, co-create with us. You can, write the story with us. You can decide on how the story goes. When we have some of our champion designs, we'll even put up things for vote like that. So, yes, we do want to our community, right, to feel like this is a game that they've, they actually have a say on, that they can work together with the rest of us. So, please join us. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that community participation. Does that mean I can get like my face maybe as a skin or an NFT? Like, can we get a Luke E4C NFT?
if your name is Elon Musk, maybe.
Is that what it takes? All you gotta do is buy, yes, Twitter, huh?
Yep.
Fair enough. All right. Well, chat, thank you so much for the wonderful time, guys. I really enjoyed it. Johnson, thank you for your time, and Zhao helping set this up. Appreciate it. Again, make sure you check out the Balthazar Discord. Get in there because we'll have much other events and giveaways coming up. And of course, if you want to check out E4C, there will be plenty of links going around. Check out their website, check out their Discord, and you can go out and hang out with Johnson. So make sure to check out their game and their Discord as well. But Johnson, appreciate the time. For now, let's stop the stream and wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, for coming.
Thank you, Luke. Bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning in for another great Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast episode. Don't forget, if you're a gamer, to check out our other content on our website and our YouTube, including interviews, research reviews, gameplay testing. And of course, if you're a game developer, check out our SDK, as it will help you guys take care of the blockchain side of your gaming so you can just focus on building a fun game. That's it for this time. Thank you, Salma. Gracias, everyone, for tuning in.